Additional business this evening, discussion in relation to the memorandum of understanding with the Delaware Department of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not going to belabor this, because as again, you all saw it come through, but I just wanted to hit some high points on this because it is, going to affect a little bit how we sort of operate going forward, meaning staff and you all. One of the things that comes out of this, which I think is a benefit to the commission, to the developers, and the public, it specifically states in here that, there's not going to be a public hearing until either we don't need information from DelDOT or DelDOT provides the information, if it's a TIS or an area-wide study fee letter or whatever. And I think that's good because it's not happening right now because we're not having big hearings, but you'll recall that when we've had larger applications, sometimes we'd get ahead of DelDOT in their, for example, their TIS letters, and we'd end up having the hearing and we'd have to hold the record open to get that information, and the developers don't like it, the applicants don't like it because they can't, really respond to it in a fair way during the hearing. The public doesn't like it because they always say, well, we don't know what the TIS said, you shouldn't act on it. This way, we're not going to have the hearing until we get that information. So that's one thing. The other thing, the prior MOU and this one both says that the county is going to endeavor, where possible, to maintain a level of service D on the roads and intersections affected by the land use application. It does say that a level of service D is not always attainable, and it could be because it's an undue burden on the property owner, or there may be other relevant factors, the size of the property, the type or importance of the development, any number of things that could come up. But what it says is that if that level of service is going to be made worse, essentially, that Sussex County has to state why the threshold level of service should not be maintained. And I think that's not going to be in every situation. It's probably not going to be in a lot of situations where that level of service is not maintained. But we need to start paying more attention to what the level of service is on these applications, and then what the impact's going to be on that level of service by the application. And I think there's really, and built into this, I'm not going to go into it, is DelDOT has to explain that to us in, more or less plain English. But I think there's an added step that we can take, or staff can take, which would be to add that to the staff analysis. Just another paragraph that says, this is what the level of service is based on DelDOT's information. This is what the level of service will be with this project. That way, it's right there in that, 1.5-page memo, so that you all can act on it and make that decision. The other thing that it says in here, and you all may recall this, is, there's been somewhat of a disconnect between, and I don't mean that in a negative way, it's more of a factual way, there's been a disconnect between DelDOT's information and when road improvements are going to happen, and your desire to try to connect the two with phasing or whatever. And so it states in here that DelDOT has the affirmative ability, if they think there's a phasing plan that makes sense, tell us. Doesn't mean we have to do it. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that we're bound by it or that DelDOT's now dictated to us what we need to do in terms of development approval, but it gives us information that we can rely on. So if we've got a big 600-acre subdivision and you think, all right, well, I know that intersection is going to be happening in 2 years and this one's going to be happening in 4 years, DelDOT will tell us that. It'll be in the record and we can rely on that. Again, you don't have to, but it's not quite so arbitrary as the commission trying to sort of throw a dart on a number of units or a date, by which certain phasing has to happen. Again, this promotes the exchange of information, and that's one of those things that I think will be useful for you. And I would say in that case, too, that would be something, if they offered conditions like that, that staff would provide in that staff memorandum. That way everybody knows it's out there, and you don't have to go leafing through a 30-page TIS report. Two other things that I think are significant. No, I just forgot what they were. My train of thought. Oh, one of them was that the county always could do this, and it's just reiterated in here, meaning you all and county council can, if on your own initiative, request traffic information, a TIS letter, from DelDOT or TIS study. You know, we really don't get those on bigger projects where you think it's an issue. You know, so it's probably not going to come into play that much. But if you think we don't have enough information on traffic, we want a TIS report done, you all can decide to do that and just hold the record open. They'll have to go through the steps with DLDOT and get it done. The other thing is, and we actually kind of saw it on the Hickman application, you know, you'll notice in that application that DLDOT said, you know, this is a rezoning, we don't know what the use is. And it makes more sense, because it does, to do the TIS or the traffic studies when we have a specific use. Council had some concerns about that. It was kind of like, all right, well, we don't know what the specific use is, but we know if something's going from AR to C3, you know there's an increase in traffic. Just give us some information, you know. And my concern to council was, well, we don't want to, you know, anchor whatever this applicant is with the worst possible use that's in C3 if they're not intended to do that. That's not fair. And, you know, I guess the flip side would be you couldn't take the lightest possible use because that wouldn't give you a good indication. But sort of the compromise was, setting that one aside, you know, like if we have a rezoning that's on someplace like Kings Highway, DLDOT's got gobs of studies on that road, and you know, or 54 or 26 or whatever. You know, don't just say that we're going to give traffic information when they come in with a specific site plan. Tell us what you got, at least. You know, tell us what the road situation is, you know. And like on this one, if there's a specific use that they're talking about, tell us some information about what that use would do for traffic. So it's, again, just to try to provide greater information at the time a hearing happens. So I guess if I had to summarize this whole thing, it's to promote a better exchange of information from DLDOT to us in a timely fashion so that we can use it when we're going through the public hearing process. So, you know, it's new and we're trying to implement it. DLDOT's already been doing some of this stuff with Jamie's office. You know, we've already really, it's not necessarily reinventing the wheel. They've already started doing that. But it'll hopefully, you know, when we get back up into more comprehensive, complicated hearings, it'll help you all make decisions.
That's great.
So, yeah. So that's all I have. I just, okay. And I will say that the MOU is up on the county's website so everybody can see it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for the most part we got pretty favorable reaction. It didn't go so far as some people wanted. There's an element, I think, of misunderstanding about what the MOU was and that it would essentially rewrite the code in terms of, you know, how we operate, and, you know, but this is more about coordination, and I think it's a good step. So.
Anybody have any questions for Vince or a comment you'd like to make, anyone?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
No, I do too. I actually a question that's just kind of weird. What say do we have in some of this stuff in that, say there's a development or a, you know, a commercial place or something that has started as small and they want to expand it, and that where the entrance is already bad. Can we say no, you can't continue to use that entrance, or is that something we have to let DLDOT say no, you can't continue
so,
to use that entrance?
There is information in here on site plan coordination. They're going to be the ones that are going to say where the entrance has to go. You know, I mean, just because they have the traffic engineers to do that. But, and I didn't really get into it, but, you know, if you get something rezoned, this is not quite your scenario, Ms. Stevenson, but if you got something rezoned and then you come back in with a site plan, that may itself trigger TIS and all this stuff, you know, that you all would have, and you could put conditions on that commercial site plan as well. You know, it like might be phasing or whatever else. It's just going to depend on the situation. To your specific question, we can't dictate entrances. I think we could try to have that conversation with DLDOT that says, you know, just look, based on our experience, it makes sense to have it on the other side of the property as opposed to right here.
Right.
You know, they're going to have the final say, though.
Okay.
And along to promote that kind of coordination, it does say in here that DLDOT will provide representatives whenever we need them, like we've had before. It also says that DLDOT will provide regular updates, not project-specific updates, but updates as to the road system in Sussex County in terms of what projects are happening, when their completion dates are, and that sort of thing. I suspect we're going to need to hold DLDOT's feet to the fire on that. Just again, that just seems like one of those things that can get lost in everybody's shuffle of trying to keep up with projects. But I do think that will help you all and council and staff and everybody else if we have sort of a more global understanding of what's going on instead of this project right here on this intersection. So, anyway. Yep.
Okay. Anything else? Anyone else have anything for the good of the order?
I guess just following up on DLDOT, just a quick update. We had a TID presentation at County Council on Tuesday. That went pretty well. The TID, remember, that's the sort of, this is the initial one around Route 1 and 24 and 9, sort of in that corridor. It looks like that's going to get approved towards the end of the month. So that will really, I think, streamline, you know, the process, and we'll get developers paying a fair share, and by fair I mean fair within the development community. All the developers are, you know, paying the same amounts based on the number of houses that they have, so there won't be sort of internal inequities within that. But it also, I think, really streamlines the whole process for getting through the timing of, you know, like we talked about the TIS, you won't have to do that. You know, you're just paying your per unit fee and you roll.
That's how they're going to base it on a per unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's about, there was a sort of a sliding scale. It was like $4,900 a unit for residential. And then for single family residential, there was a different fee, a little bit lower for multifamily. And then there's a per square foot fee for commercial, you know. And on that, you know, and you guys are involved a little bit on it, but, you know, there was a lot of outreach to the development community, and they all liked it, you know, because they just, you know, it's,
yeah, they want
to
know.
You want to know it is, you can budget it.
Predictability.
Yeah. No time delays. Yeah. And a lot of them did say fairness, you know, there, and I don't know that it was really accurate or more just opinions, but, you know, they would say, well, I got to pay X gazillion dollars. Why does this guy right across the road only have to pay, you know, a couple hundred thousand, what, you know, whatever it was, you know? So I think this makes the playing field transparent and everybody's doing the same thing.
It's because everybody uses the off-site improvements. The whole world uses the off-site improvements. And when one developer has to pay, in some cases, millions of dollars,
right,
you know, for off-site improvements, it does seem a bit inequitable.
Yeah. So what we're hoping is, I mean, you know, not like next year, but get this one under our belts, get it working, knock wood, that everybody's comfortable with it, and try it somewhere else. So,
okay,
you know, yeah.
That's great.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order?
Yep.
All right. If not, stand adjourned. Harmony prevailing at 7:44.
We all failed that miserable. Yeah.